Oce, gobeithion, os allai alw'r cyfarfod yma i rhywfaint o drefn, fi'n cymryd i'n ganiatawol bod y cyfarpar cyfieithu yn gweithio. Os yw rhywun eisiau treialu bod o'n neud siŵr bod da ni yn gweithio, cyn i ni ddechrau'r cyfarfod mae'r ddeall lleoedd Cymru. Os ydy'n gweithio, allwch chi ddeud rhywbeth fel mae o'n gweithio, fel yna? Pawb yn hapus? Unrhyw un sydd ddim yn hapus? Bendigedig. Reit, diolch yn fawr iawn. Croeso i'r digwyddiad arbennig mae heddiw ar lawnsio Deall Lleoedd Cymru, gwefan sydd newydd fynd yn fyw heddiw yma. Fe enw i di Dr. Dai Lloyd, fi'n aelod o'r Cynulliad Plaid Cymru dros Orllewin De Cymru, fel meddyg teulu a fel rhywun sydd â diddordeb mewn materion daearyddol a beth yw poblogaethau gwahanol drefydd ac ati. Dwi'n ymddiddori yn y pethau hyn yn fy amser sbar, felly o fawr ddiddordeb a dwi'n diolch i bawb sydd wedi ymgymryd ar gwaith. Mae diolch yn arbennig i'r Sefydliad Materion Cymraeg, Ymddiriedolaeth Carnegie UK ac i bawb sydd wedi gweithio ar y brosiect hynod gyffroes yma ac hynod positif hefyd. Mae prosiect Deall Lleoedd Cymru wedi ysbrydoli gan lwyddiant gwefan Understanding Scottish Places a ariennir gan Carnegie. Fel i ddweud, mae hwn yn ddatblygiad cyffroes. Mae gwefan Deall Lleoedd Cymru yn cyflwyno gwybodaeth am bob lle yng Nghymru gyda 1,000 neu fwy o drigolion yn byw yna. Mae'r data dan sylw yn cynnwys gwybodaeth am bobl a chymunedau, cyflogaeth, teithio, addysg a sgiliau, lles, gwytnwch economaidd ac amgylcheddol, mynediad at wasanaethau, diwylliant, treftadaeth a'r Gymraeg. Yn syml, er mwyn gwneud newidiadau cadarnhaol lle maen nhw'n byw ac yn gweithio, mae angen gwybodaeth ddibynadwy am leoedd Cymru a'r gymunedau ar lunwyr polisi ac ar lunwyr lleoedd. Mae yna gryn dipyn ohonoch chi yn y gynulleidfa yma y bore yma. Mae Deall Lleoedd Cymru yn wahanol i byrth data eraill oherwydd ni fydd angen i bobl fod yn arbenigwyr i'w ddefnyddio. Mae yn gyflym ac yn hawdd ei ddefnyddio. Mae'r canolbwyntio ar archwilio tebygrwydd, cyferbyniadau a chydberthynas rhwng lleoedd yn helpu defnyddwyr i ddehongli a rhyngweithio efo'r data hwn mewn ffyrdd newydd a dynamic. Mae'r wefan hefyd yn cynnwys mapiau o deithiau cymudwyr rhwng lleoedd, lle da chi'n byw i le da chi'n gweithio, sy'n hynod o ddiddorol wrth i ni drio cynllunio systemau trefnidiaeth cynaliadwy. Wel, dyna ddigon oddi wrtha fi fel cyflwyniad, a dwi'n falch iawn rwan i wahodd i'r llwyfan Sarah Davison, prif weithredwr ymddiriedolaeth Carnegie UK Trust. Rhowch groeso i Sarah Davison. Diolch yn fawr iawn i chi.
Thank you so much for that introduction. I'm absolutely delighted to be here at the Welsh Assembly to launch Understanding Welsh Places. This is in fact my first outing as the Chief Executive of Carnegie UK, and I can't think of a better place and a better occasion to have that outing. As we've heard, this new website is designed to give information about wellbeing at local level in a way that can boost community planning across Wales. And I know from the people I've already met this morning that there is a huge commitment in this room to good placemaking and to developing the ability of people in places to understand where it is that they live and therefore to make good choices about what they want to happen there. I know traditionally you end remarks like this with thanks, but I've been so struck by the power of the consortium that has come together around this work that I want to start with my thanks so that they don't in any way get lost at the end. First of all, huge thanks to Assemblymember Dr. Lloyd for introducing me this morning and for being here, and also to the Deputy Minister, Hannah Blethyn, for speaking later on. This tool has, as I said, been the product of hard work over a long time by a fantastic group of partners, and the energy and commitment that has been present in that consortium is evident not only through the fact that so many are here today, but also that so many people have stuck with the consortium all the way through. I think we've all been part of groups where people come together at the beginning with a huge degree of enthusiasm, and then as time goes on, they drift off in different places. And the fact that so many of the core members of this consortium have stayed together says a lot. The IWA have coordinated the project for us. The Welsh Government have been great supporters of it. Wizard has built the website and analysed the data, and those of you who've already had a chance to look at it, and those of you who will do so later this morning, will recognise what a fantastically accessible website it is. And thanks to CLES for support. We have had expert guidance from the consortium during the process. These are people who gave their time and advice and enthusiasm freely, and we can't express our gratitude enough for that. It really, really matters. At the Carnegie UK Trust, our USP, as it were, is our interest in well-being. We were founded with a mission to improve the well-being of the people. And for us, that means living well and living well together, and critically making sure that nobody is left behind. And under our current strategic plan, we have a particular interest in towns throughout the UK, towns which we recognise for too long have been left out of policy debates. As many of you here know, probably even better than I do, over the past decades, towns in our country have experienced rapid growth, but have not always received adequate support for services to grow alongside them. Other towns have suffered rapid decline, losing their traditional economic base, and many still finding their feet in the new economy and yet to work out what that means for them. And we know that failure to manage the challenge of growth and decline has badly affected many of our towns and the communities who live in them. And we know that the strength of our towns matters not only to our own well-being, but to the well-being of our communities. In Wales, we see at the moment some fantastic opportunities to turn that round. And again, I was really interested this morning to hear partners in Wales reflecting on some of these and the opportunities that they offer to them. The World Leading Wellbeing of Future Generations Act is a chance for a radical change in how we approach all places, but particularly thinking about towns today. The requirement to come together, to work together, to think about progress over the long term rather than just short-term outcomes, and critically to involve communities in decision making about towns, opens up the possibilities of so many new ways of working. We know from our experience in Scotland of working with Understanding Scottish Places that people really are crying out for information about their towns. To identify their priorities, communities need shared information to start with. At Carnegie, we have been advocates for evidence-based and evidence-informed policymaking for a long time. And we know that for towns, that evidence is often hard to find. Data about how towns are getting on economically, socially, environmentally, and culturally is often simply unavailable at town level. And we know that the work that is involved in trying to disaggregate from much bigger data sets is not the work that many people in towns are able to do. And as a result of that, often the nuances of local places get brushed over by data that only goes down to local authority level, grouping very different places together. But we know that every town is unique, and to make sure that individual places flourish, they need so much better data than that to work with. And it was that which was the motivation behind bringing together the diverse group of partners to build a new data platform in Wales to inform that kind of grassroots planning. We really hope that this website will allow people to come together in their towns and communities and get to know where they live. This new platform will allow people, local voluntary groups, planners and businesses to explore information about the well-being of their own town. And local leaders, whether through employment or participation, can identify opportunities to work together and to start planning for the future. We also hope that they will start to think about the different places around them that they are connected to, but also places further afield that they share similarities with but wouldn't necessarily otherwise know about. At the Carnegie UK Trust, we say that we are great believers in the power of unusual friendships. And we hope that understanding Welsh places will be a way that helps people to understand those potential unusual or new friendships and to build communities of networks of communities working together, supporting each other, and exploring their futures together. Places that seem very different on the surface may in fact be facing very similar challenges or be armed with the same strengths and assets. And by reaching out, we hope that places can work together and learn together. As you can tell, we have really high hopes for what this tool can do. But of course, today is just a start, and we look forward with real enthusiasm to discovering how it is that you use it, how it is that communities throughout Wales use it. And I encourage everybody to start today exploring the tool, sharing it with your networks, and starting to learn about the places in which you live. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much indeed, Sarah. Thank you. I'm at that awkward stage where I've got to do glasses on and off now for reading. I'm in a minute going to invite the panel up to, there we go, glasses on and off, up to join me, but I'm going to say a few words first. First of all, this is my first outing as a Welsh learner now, so bore da poi bechoiso. Mae'n rhwyd gweld cymaint o bobl yma heddiw. Uriel Miller dwi, cyfarfodwr sefydliad materion Cymreig. That's as much as you're getting right now. In our panel discussion, we're going to talk more about the ways in which UWP, Understanding Welsh Places, might be used to create positive change, and also about the wider context of the website's development. Because we're really going to be looking at the potential, because you're absolutely right, this is just the start of it, Sarah, I want to take the opportunity to outline in a little bit more detail the elements that make it different to other data portals, and the things also that we're really proud of. Sarah talked a lot about unusual friendships. We've had a really good group of people who've really stuck with this over the last year and a half, and people from all sorts of different sectors who are with us. And we're also thinking about now who else we want to invite to join the party too. And I think the other thing that's been great, and particularly great for us as the IWA, is that it's been informed by ongoing consultation with pilots, groups and communities around the country. So it's been a very direct way of connecting with what people are doing and what people are thinking about and what people might want to use it for. So very much involved in that shaping from the start. So we've already talked about how the site presents data at a town and community level rather than a local authority level. And that's a really, really crucial distinction for the reasons that Sarah's outlined already and that we're going to talk about a bit more. But I think the other thing is that there are extra layers of analysis for communities with more than 2,000 residents in it. And that work has been created by the contractor teams who both processed the data that's already out there and developed the website. Our colleagues from Wizard, who are over there, can you give us a wave, Wizard? So if you want to talk data, geekery, and brilliance, Wizard are the people to talk to, and also our friends at Claire's. Now, I know some people from Claire's are here today. There we are, some waves from over there. Thank you very much indeed, Centre for Local Economic Strategies, based in Manchester. So the extra levels of analysis mean that places are grouped into categories by size and various demographic and socioeconomic variables. And we've deliberately not labelled them. We have deliberately, we might talk about that in the panel as well. But they're also assessed in terms of the extent to which they rely on other places for public, commercial and social assets and are given this interdependence rating. And I really want to stress that we've gone very much for an asset-based perspective in all sorts of different ways. This is about recognising the different assets that people have in the community and really starting from that position of strength. This is not about wants and needs. This is about what do you have, what can you build on, how can you flex and use those assets for maximum effect. One of the things that's fascinating when you've gone around using it with people and trying it out, people have gone to places that they know to say that, oh, does that look like and feel like somewhere that I know? So I'd be interested in your feedback on that. There are some tablets around the corner over here for you to have a look at. It is mobile friendly as well, so if you want to get on it now and have a quick look, do by all means do that. But one of the things that you can see also is how people's commuter journeys are mapped onto their town, village or community as well. So looking at where people travel to and from work, what the daytime economy is like, what the nighttime economy is like as well. But the key thing is about it's a conversation starter. So it's about highlighting similar places for all sorts of different types of users to start and have a conversation with, oh, that place over there doesn't look and feel like us, but actually maybe it is. And that is really about encouraging those kinds of horizontal conversations and the sharing of learning and best practice in Wales. You may well have heard the saying that good practice doesn't travel well in Wales. Well, we hope that this is a contribution to ending that. so that communities can share their plans and research without going sort of up and across, but there's a very direct conversation there. The other thing that we're really proud of is that the qualitative descriptions of places that open the page are written by the people who live there, predominantly. And where that's not the case, we really welcome descriptions about what the story of that place is like. What has it been like in the past? And what do you want that story of the place to be like in the future? And it is written by the people, for the people, and it is of the people. It is not something that is coming from outside. And I think that's a really, really strong asset. So the other thing that we also want to do is link to other planning tools that are around. So there's an opportunity for people to upload their own place plans. And we make no bones about you must use X, Y, or Z. And we'll talk about that in a bit, I'm sure. Because we think it's really important that communities both choose and use what suits their own situation best, because everywhere is different. And the story of that place will be different. So I'd like to invite the rest of the panel to join me now, please. I'm delighted to welcome Rocio Cifuentes, who is the Director and Chief Exec of the Ethnic Minorities and Youth Support Team, and Honorary Life Fellow of the IWA for her contribution to Wales. Ed Humphreys, who's Town Clerk for Newtown and Llanachian Town Council. Chris Jones, a member of our consortium. Where's Chris? Over there. From Chris Jones Regeneration. And Ewan Thomas, Chief Executive of Planned, which is Pembrokeshire Local Action Network for Enterprise and Development. And I'm going to come and sit in the middle. So hopefully, if the logistics works, you all know where you're sitting. And we're going to crack on with some conversation and have a really good chunk of time afterwards for discussions and questions afterwards. So tablets and mobiles at the ready, folks, and I'm going to go there now. Great. Yes, please, thank you. So I'm going to come, I think, to Ewan, you first of all. We talked about how there isn't, you know, there's no sort of prediction on how people are going to use it. It's let a thousand flowers bloom in that sense. So what hopes do you have that decision makers, wherever they sit, and activists as well, will do with understanding Welsh places?
I think with the website, I think, as you mentioned, Auriel, people working in small towns and small communities are not statisticians. They want accessible, you know, understandable data, and I think this website will deliver on that for communities. Communities are very active across Wales in terms of searching for funding for different projects to benefit various aspects of their community, and certainly what we have found in Pembrokeshire is that there is a nervousness in terms of using statistical data to put into funding applications to support those communities, because often the statistical tools which we have currently available in Wales, whilst perfectly accurate, aren't for the intended audience. So what we would hope from this particular development of this website is that it actually now is giving communities the data they actually need in a format which is understandable for them and something which they have confidence in to actually go forward and say, yes, we can put funding bids in. We can understand in terms of where our community sits compared to others within the locality and other geographies, because we are seeing a merging of communities, particularly in terms of pooling resources and knowledge to actually come together to maximise the benefits for those communities, be it through the supply chains. We've seen now, obviously, the foundation economy really coming to the fore in terms of the agenda. And for local communities, particularly in those rural areas across Wales, having accessible data to bring them together, understand, as you're saying, travel to work, economic drivers, educational opportunities, challenges. This is what this website, I would hope, will continue to deliver and be supported.
Thank you. Ed, I'd like to come to you about challenges that town councils are facing as well, and there are a few. What kind of thing do you think this will help with?
Well, I never thought in a million years I would ever be in a position when I say, know your place. But I mean it in a slightly different way to how it's commonly understood. It is about knowing our own place. Mm. And sometimes it really does boil down to facts and stats. Mm. And that journey from data to information and then through to knowledge and wisdom is a critical pathway. And I think this tool sits right on the cusp between information and knowledge. It's not just about the data, it's about what you do with it.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of starting point, I think, for a town and community council, is actually knowing the place in which they work.
Mm.
I don't think Newtown, where I'm clerk, is typical in that we've never had this sort of data at our fingertips before. In putting grant applications together, we struggle to find data. In terms of evidence to work with other people, we struggle to find data. And where I think it really is going to come into its own is where we're going, not where we've been. It's about community-led planning. So it's working with others to develop your place, not just working alone.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue into Rocio. You know, communities across Wales are changing, and the voices of different communities need to be heard in different ways. And yeah. EYST has outreach workers in all sorts of different places across Wales. I mean, one of the stats, when you came to talk to our board in May, I was struck by the stat around how Cardiff in particular is going to change dramatically over the next 15 years in terms of people coming from BAME backgrounds. But you must
it's
see
already
that
changed
elsewhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think this tool is potentially a fantastic resource to help Wales better understand who lives here, who you know, where people are migrating from within Wales and from outside of Wales. And these questions of place and belonging and identity have never been more central, really, to the bigger issues that we're grappling with as Welsh society and internationally even. So the way in which we present places, I'm really pleased to see the strong emphasis on an asset-based approach, because that is really important to constructing positive notions of identity and belonging and who belongs and doesn't belong to certain places. I think there's huge opportunity for this resource, but also when I, just from looking at it, I think it's a starting point. There's a lot more that could usefully be done in terms of useful information around ethnicity and nationality, particularly, looking at it very, very quickly. There is, no data currently on EU migrants, and which is clearly will become an even bigger issue than it already is. So I think it's really important that we continue to do as much as we can to really reach out and make sure that the people who are involved in producing the resource and the partners are as diverse as possible. That the resource is co-produced, that we live up to the lovely rhetoric in which is all across Welsh policy at the moment. We hear a lot about the implementation gap. It's all well and good to say we're going to co-produce and so on, but when you look at who is actually involved, what is the diversity of those groups, what is the diversity of the people in this room, we can see quite clearly where the gaps are. And it's always it strikes me that you said that you were surprised to realize how diverse Cardiff will become, but Cardiff is already extremely diverse. We're in the most diverse the historically most diverse part of Wales. So there's a lot more that can be done and needs to be done.
I think that's right. And I think, yes, there are lots of conversations in that mix. And it's a really absolutely fair and proper challenge. One of the things that we've been talking about, Chris, is this is very much phase one, isn't it? And where do we go next? So there's data that we can do that we've got in the mix now, and there's data that we want to pull in for UWP too. But you've been doing some of the on-the-ground work with perhaps some of the people in this room as well, and particularly your experience with Abergele, which we've been talking about at a fairly regular, regular intervals recently. Yeah. Do you want to talk a bit about how you think this could be particularly useful?
Yeah, I think the work in Abergele has been around a place plan, for those of you who know, so through the sort of planning bill. And really, as the previous speakers have said, a lot of it has been about data being fragmented, about not really understanding your place, and just giving direction. I think in this phase, under UWP1, it is about data in a way, trying to underpin your narrative, but in a positive way. So think for me, we always look at negatives in place. We always look about shops closing. We look at deprivation. All important. But actually, the point raised there about positive assets. So for me, this tool is about really, and as Ed said, about opening up your eyes to actually what you've got and how you can start to come together. So if we had this tool about a year or two ago, Oriel, in Abergele, one, they wouldn't have needed me in terms of data. It would all been there. It would have been a lot leaner and a lot more efficient. And the key word today is about empowerment. I think the key thing for me is about empowering people who needn't just be town community councils, not being rude, Ed, not be the third sector, but somebody at home one night going on this tool saying, wow, I never knew we had that. Yeah. Who can I turn to? How do I get involved? You know, that for me is the really important thing about this, that we normally have the usual people doing this now and again. We are normally the sort of normal volunteers. So for me, it's a cultural shift as well we've got to look at here. Mm.
We've talked quite a lot in the consortium about how different policy conversations can still happen in quite a siloed way, and there's some nods from people in the audience here. But there's a knowing smile over on the left from you. And I think from the point of view of, you know, the issues and the policies that we're working to at the moment and trying to address, there are issues also around how this fits in with wellbeing of future generations, community planning. Can we just talk about that a bit more?
I think it's quite interesting. Funny enough, I was doing some work this morning before I came here on community land trusts, because in Pembrokeshire we're leading on that at the moment, and we've got about four communities who are about to go forward for community land trusts. And I was noting some of the research in England. There's already legislation being passed to actually empower communities in terms of having a greater role within their kind of planning, within their education, and various different community-led issues. And I think, you know, this is something that we should be looking at more so in Wales, particularly in terms of policy, that it is more community-led. You know, as colleagues here have said, there's a diversity in Wales which isn't perhaps captured as well as it should be. And I think, you know, even in rural communities, there is a huge diversity in terms of culture, language, skills, which we need to celebrate. It's not about highlighting the differences for a negative purpose. It's about how we celebrate the breadth of our communities and what those communities can offer. If we're looking at, you know, inward investment, you know, to say, well, look, we've got this breadth of skills across this, you know, geography, and it's using data in a more intelligent way, which is based on community-led geographies rather than LSOAs, MSOAs, for those kind of stats geeks out there, which, you know, do not mean a jot to the general public. It's for those who are just trying to keep themselves in jobs doing stats, sorry. But I think, you know, policy-wise, whilst we have national policy, which we want to kind of input into and take, particularly around the Wellbeing Future Generations Act, I think what we shouldn't forget, there's also local policy, which is important, led at a county level, a regional level, and with the growth in city deals as well, you know, it's not just about hooking all our eggs on one place. It's making sure that we respect the geographies below that kind of high-level parameter.
And there are different geographies, aren't there, Ed, in terms of what decisions are made where, depending on what that thing is, whether it's in health, whether it's in education, whether it's local authorities, where services sit, the roles of town and community councils, and there aren't town and community councils right across the country, are there? So it's not a straightforward, simple picture. It's pretty complex.
It isn't. It's a patchwork all over Wales, and we say in the publicity, every place is different. But I think in our sector, in Newtown, we're struggling to convert leaders into leadership. And I think that's where this will help, by working with others. The people elect leaders. However, the leaders sometimes fail to convert that into real leadership.
And not all leaders are elected.
Exactly, and many aren't, yes, yeah. But what converts it is partly this sort of information, and it's partly, again, partnerships with others. We are starting to get off the ground in my council, and I've seen it in others as well, where we create a concept of a town partnership. Now, it might be made up of representatives of the town council, representatives of the third sector, and possibly representatives of the business community. And with with the advent of business improvement districts, I think there's an obvious triangle there. So policy for towns is not just about town and community councils' policies. We've got them coming out of our ears. It's about community policies led by the community, put together by the community, and more to the point, evidenced by the community.
So, Rocio, in terms of places where you can see really some great stuff happening, some great and unusual partnerships and friendships and alliances developing, can you talk to us a bit about whether there's something here that either surprised or I didn't know that, or the kinds of ways in which you would hope that engagement might happen?
I thought you were going to ask me about the policy links, so
you can talk about the policy links if you like.
Well, yeah, there are, I mean, very clear policy links. I mean, I mentioned some of them, but community cohesion, migration. But what I would like to see, which I think the opportunity that this resource offers, is more of focus on the positive correlations between diversity within communities and growth in business or services, rather than the usual negative correlations that we see around crime and lack of housing and lack of deficit negative correlations that are usually highlighted. But in terms of where I've seen unusual conversations or partnerships, I can't say that any really spring to mind. I think, unfortunately, my experience is more that we are too often talking to the same people in this, very similar rooms, in policy silos, as you've already mentioned. So potentially this is a chance to break outside of those.
I think certainly from our perspective, we see it very much as an opportunity to get out and about and do a lot of listening to what people are thinking, are what matters to them, where they live, from all sorts of different perspectives. And we've talked about it quite a lot, Chris, in terms of holding the ring for a different type of conversation, haven't we?
What in terms of what future of place you mean?
Yeah,
I think for us it's as a consortium. We've talked a lot about can place become. You mean in terms of the future? And certainly looking at when you sort of log on now to the actual tool, a lot of it tends to validate certainly about what you may know about where you live, but also what you want to sort of become. When I look at it, your mid-Wales sort of band of towns, communities, you get a sense that some are dependent on, say, Aberystwyth, or some are dependent on Hereford, even. We've got this issue around the marches, For me, it's a tool that can start to look at public services, Wrexham to Chester, So for me, when you see it at times, you'll go, there's a logic here and there's a validation. But it doesn't mean that we should stay static. It should be something that we're always in that cycle.
But it gives you a starting point for that conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think for me as a planner, it works at all levels, both at policy, regional planning, a city region, town community, how you work, work with sort of rivers and movement and all sorts of things, hills, that whole topography of Wales, at times often dictates as well how we have that natural marriage of places. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, whilst it's data, I think the key thing for me as a practitioner is that narrative and that story, and that keeps coming out about what can we become and what is our story and how does data underpin that.
And we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, and Sarah, in your introduction, around the work that Carnegie had done 2 years ago in terms of towns and town type communities and the recommendations that went to Welsh Government. The conversation around turnaround towns and some of those links that have already been built up. Are there any people who were involved in that work here today? Maybe we could...
I think there were two towns in turnaround. There was Merthyr.
It was Merthyr and Llandudno.
It was a workshop at Llandudno. Yeah.
But I think this thing around working across sectors and how that happens, we all need to be much better at that and think about not just where does the money come from and therefore who are we accountable to from a funding perspective, but what are we here to do and how does this help us do it together?
Mm. I think, from a very local example, some colleagues in the room may be familiar Planned as an organisation has been there for 30 years working with communities across Pembrokeshire and West Wales, and one of the things which they have championed is local visioning, as it was called. And certainly we're working now with Halford West and then smaller communities across Pembrokeshire where the community are leading across different sectors. We've got local businesses, education, third sector, you know, public and private sector, all working together to actually say, well, what is the vision for this, you know, community going forward? The community are driving it. We're there to facilitate. And they are coming up then with recommendations themselves in terms of what they want to see that community going forward with. Earlier this year, we did a very small community, which is about 6 miles south of Halford West, a village called Hook, which, you know, is a very strong community, but it's a very delineated community. There's one road going through, and it stretches for miles along this road. They do have a, you know, a very strong sport association community hall, but in terms of to get from one end of the village, it's about, you know, kind of 2 miles. But what was interesting is, as well as the usual suspects who kind of, you know, the strong community leaders, we wanted to get under the surface. And so we went into the school, because usually when you're doing community development, you talk to adults. But our kind of take was, well, the future of this community is those young people sitting in our primary school. So again, engaging with the parents and the pupils, we had a whole different take. And then we brought in the local community council to engage with them more. And it was really kind of useful in the fact that the community was saying, we've never been engaged like this before. And again, we brought local businesses in, we brought other kind of service providers in, and Professor Sally Holland, Children's Commissioner for Wales, came down and actually said, this is the way forward in terms of young people engagement in communities. But I think one of the key things which we found was the lack of available community-led data. And I think this is what this website, in its development, will be able to service and provide those communities to support their future opportunities and, again, look at the positives rather than the negatives.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it open in a minute, so get that's your cue to get thinking of questions, and there will be a mic coming around. When it comes around, could you introduce yourself and please and say where you come from? I know we've got people from all over the country joining us today, but I wanted to pick up on what happens next a bit, really, first. So we've had a conversation about the border and the very long and porous border and the need to think about the data and how people use services that cross border. And there will be an official letter going from the IWRA to Carnegie suggesting that that might be the next phase of work on this. We're very definitely also planning a next phase of this whole project continues for at least another year. And pulling in the next load of data and some of the conversations that we've had with our data group, and we love our statisticians because this is all about democratizing the data, and I'm getting a wry smile from Glyn halfway down. Hello, Glyn. And it really is about putting the data and the evidence into the hands of the people who will know how they want to use it for their place. And we are here as enablers and facilitators. This is not a we know best in any shape or form. This is about pulling it together and enabling people to use it for making their own future come to life for themselves and their children. But you picked up there, Ewan, on because the conversation in schools, we see that absolutely. We would love this to be used by sixth form students. I get a bit lost at the top end of secondary because my kids aren't that old yet, but sort of, you know, 10, 11, 12 years, thinking about geography classes and how that's used. What do they engage with locally? What does that mean in terms of their education? What does that mean for in terms of local jobs? What possibilities might there be from around them? In another IWA project, we've been looking at what happens next in terms of the curriculum and how local schools and colleges engage with what the future of those jobs might look like in those places. So there's all sorts of interconnectedness. And I hope I've given you now long enough to come up with your questions. We have got lots of tablets around for asking, but we're conscious that we're not showing it to you at the moment because we want you to do it for yourselves. That's deliberate, just so as you know. Who would like to ask something first? And there are other people in the consortium here who can also answer questions. Question at the front down here, please. If you could introduce yourself, and thank you.
Thanks very much. My name's Chris Coppock. I'm a curator, art consultant, but I'm also a communities champion for the Brecon Beacons National Park Authority. I'm most taken by what Rocio has said. And I think this is a very welcome initiative, but perhaps it has already stumbled in the sense, as Rocio mentioned, the demographic here. There is a deficit in the people who are actually in attendance at the moment. And ultimately, that means that the buy-in to this will be limited to a certain kind of demographic. And if this thing is going to change significantly, then we have to think about the way we go about engaging. Because otherwise, I totally agree, we're going to end up with the same kinds of problems that we've had before. I mean, interestingly, in a UK English context, the Glover Report on natural landscapes, it's emphatically said national parks do not attract a diverse section of our population. It's written throughout the document. We've known this for years, and yet we continue to operate in this way where a certain group of people, usually from A, B, and C demographic, define everything for everyone else. Mm. Now, this, you talked about rhetoric. This has to go beyond that rhetoric.
Yep.
And at the moment, because there's a whole swathe of the population, the cultural diversity of Wales missing from this debate at the moment, it's going to be difficult to bring those voices into this conversation unless there's a very different means of engagement used.
I think those are really good challenges. I'm going to pick up and then throw it open to anybody else. You'll be pleased to know, Chris, that there were people from more diverse backgrounds involved in the piloting and the shaping and the feedback sessions very, very explicitly. But there isn't anybody on the consortium, and that is something that we need to address. But we also needed to have something, because we're also conscious that when you invite people to join the group, when people are giving their time and their resources for free, that could be a massive commitment for people too. So there's a really careful balance there. It's a very live issue for the IWRA and something that we're looking at, because the second part of our strategy that we launched, four weeks ago, is very much about enabling people who haven't been part of the public discourse to be part of it in a way that suits them best. And this is not about engagement will be like this. So Rocio is part of that conversation and has been for a good while now.
Yeah, thank you. Could I just also, just to broaden my comments, and you may or might agree or disagree, but I think the deficit isn't only in terms of ethnicity, it's also in terms of social class. And ethnicity is probably just the easiest one to see, but it's actually probably just an expression of social class divisions, partly. And that's much more difficult to gauge just by looking around the room.
Yeah.
But I think it's a real issue. And I think, you know, potentially a lot of communities will feel that this is, you know, a middle class indulgence. We're just describing a reality. We're not doing anything to change reality, which is very, very difficult for a large section of the population in Wales. So I'd like to hear how this concept and project will, you know, actually achieve positive change.
I think it's a good challenge. I think some of that will be, depends on who uses it and how they use it, and we'll see what happens. Be interesting to learn from the Scottish example too, is how that's happened. Can I ask anybody else if there's a question to pick up from the floor? There's one over there at the back on the left.
Hi there, Andrew Charles from Welsh Government. Just two questions. I'd like to ask the panel their thoughts on what needs to happen to enable citizens to use the data and to empower them, to give them confidence to use that data in their local areas. And secondly, it seems to me that part of understanding Welsh places is to enable people to shape and steer Welsh places in the future. So there's an aspect here which might be missing, which is in the context of the Future Generations Act, there are trends that are going to affect how Welsh places change over the future. And the data at the moment is based on where we are now. How do you build in what the trends are likely to be for places into this this platform?
Really good question. Do you want to pick up on the enabling chunk of that first?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you said, Oriel, before, it's down to all of us to actually use and promote this information. It's not just kind of saying, well, I went to a, you know, session in the Pierhead building today, I kind of looked at it, clapped and went away. I think it's down to all of us to actually promote it within our networks, within our organisations and within our wider partners, and particularly within communities. I mean, certainly, you know, I know that within Pembrokeshire, we can promote it via the existing networks which already exist within the county. So, for example, there is a network for people who have community buildings. So we can go in and actually, within those community building fora, say, well, look, this is something you can use. It might be that, you know, there's a yoga class in one who may think, well, actually, there's what's that in the corner? And it's just there. I mean, there are communities in Wales, as you mentioned, where there aren't perhaps, you know, town and community councils, and there are also communities where there isn't a defined hub, as in a village or community hall. And I'm thinking of, in Pembrokeshire, there's a community of Sclevey, which is on the A40 road. Some of you will have seen driving to Fishguard. There is no community or village hall within that 600 households, but no village hall. So the pub, the gate inn, which is right on the road, is the only focal point. Yeah. And again, it's how we use these focal points in communities in different ways to engage with this type of you know, opportunity to share information. And people may think, well, people aren't going to do that in a village pub. And again, I can give you evidence that, you know, we've just undertaken a community survey there of those 600 households. We had 274 back, and we had a ballot box in the pub, and people went there and actually put their surveys in. I think we have to think differently. I agree that we don't always want to appeal to the same cohort of the population. We have to broaden it to those hard-to-reach households and those people who are, you know, kind of not engaging on a routine basis with local democracy, because that is important, because they are part of that community as much as anybody else, and they can learn from this data in terms of trends. I think, you know, in North Wales, you know, people around Flintshire, they know that, you know, they have the big employers there like Airbus, Toyota, Tata, but again, it's then accessing the data to show in terms of, well, where are those skill sets going? Where can I go to actually understand what do I need to enable me to forge a career and to stay within these communities? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the foundation economy particularly is a key lever to enable this type of data to have a greater resonance, to understand local supply chains, local businesses, to keep the pound in your pocket local, to keep jobs local, and to engage with people to say, look, these are community issues, and these are the kind of data sets which can enable a more open and transparent discussion.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask, put Glyn on the spot actually, to talk about the trends issue, Glyn, and data that we have and some of the things that we've grappled with in terms of the data group, and how we future vision how communities are changing and what those opportunities are.
Okay, that's a tough challenge. So I'm Glyn Jones, I'm Chief Statistician at the Welsh Government and a part of the consortium, and pleased to be part of the consortium. And this is a really fantastic development to fill a gap in the data, as the panel suggested. I think it's a really difficult question when we talk about this in, from a data level, because futures analysis is usually predominantly very high level, and that's the kind of thing we produce. And I think understanding the trends at a local level is something that needs to be done, but incredibly hard to be done statistically. So I think bringing in local intelligence, and that's part of the sort of added value of this, is to bring in local intelligence about future planning and so on, and understanding where we are now and how the trends and future trends that we publish through the Welsh Future Trends Report might impact on your local area is something that needs to be discussed locally, and the potential implications of those considered, you know, with a lot of thought amongst PSBs and community town councils. So we can provide support and evidence in terms of what information people could be looking at, and I think local intelligence is needed then to sort of translate that into, right, what does that mean to my local area?
So it's a different kind of conversation that needs to happen, which means that we're all going to have to work very, very differently, which I think is a theme very much. It's the how as well as the what, isn't it? How we work is going to change. Question down here at the front, Laura, please. Second row, just behind Robert, behind the pillar.
Forgive me, it's more of an observation than a question.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yes,
please.
So Robert Chapman, I'm a property advisor and regen practitioner. I guess I've been working around in this area for several decades. So it is an observation, and I would simply say that this is great news. Why? Well, because it's about empowering local people to do things. I think there's something here about doing and taking actions. So often I've seen over many decades places where people have had things done to them. They've felt disempowered, and there's this, you know, one could talk more about that. So I just think that this provides an opportunity for people to engage with it if they want to, but it's there, it's online, they can engage with the data and make use of it and facilitate, use it to facilitate actions. In other words, they're feeling more empowered to take action. So I think it's an absolutely great initiative. And also it gives those places and people in those places more confidence to get on and do things. So I think it's a great initiative and should be applauded.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions, comments before we hand over? Anybody else? No. Okay. That's great. Thank you very much. Has anybody had a chance to look at it yet online? Any? There's some hands going up. Okay. We will be hanging around, not even hanging around, willingly staying and engaging with you on tablets and phones and afterwards. But really, on the website, when you get to it, there's a really clear page on FAQs. How do we get to where we've got to so far? And I really would stress so far. This is a work in progress. This is not a finished, done and dusted, off you go, carry on. This is very much the starting of a different type of engagement locally. And yes, this is a formal launch, but there have been other community launches around the country, and it'll continue to be an iterative process with community groups and networks and organisations in all sorts of different places and ways. For us at the IWA, it's been a real privilege and a pleasure to be involved in something that has brought together lots of different partners around the country. And it sits really neatly alongside our next project with CRU, the Centre for Regeneration Excellence in Wales, thinking about the foundational economy and how we can keep the pound local in a very different way and pick up on that sense of what does this place look like now and what could it look like in the future. So there is also a really strong call from me and from all of us on the consortium, please, to send us your feedback. Constructive feedback would be great. There have been lots of challenges when it comes to the data, and I've learned a huge amount from participating in those data groups early on. But we will be very upfront with you about why we've made the decisions collaboratively together that we have and what we need to consider when taking it forward. So we've had people saying, well, why isn't there the data for this? And it's, well, because we want to make sure there is the same data across the country so that the comparisons can happen. So that's been really good. We are thinking about who else needs to be part of the group to make this really stick and make this really work. We think we're onto something really positive here. Now the question is how we maximise it for the greatest possible impact. So I would like to thank everybody on the panel for the conversation. There is a long way to go yet, and we're really delighted with this very positive first step. So thank you very much, everybody here. And I'm delighted to introduce Hannah Blithen, Assembly Member and Deputy Minister for Housing and Local Government. Hannah, we will stay here.
Diolch, thank you, Ariel, and thank you very much for the invitation to join you today. I'm really pleased to be able to be here, and it's fantastic to see such a full house in here today, which I think is, and from people not just across Wales, from across the UK, and I think that's testament to the value of the work that's been done and the interest in it as we take that forward. Grateful for the opportunity to be here also to give my thoughts as the Minister with responsibility for regeneration and town centres, and also just to briefly outline some of our future policy direction when it comes to our town centres across Wales. The Welsh Government asked Carnegie UK Trust to carry out a report into Welsh towns during the summer of 2017. And one of these recommendations in that report highlighted the lack of town-specific data. Welsh Government agreed with that finding and fully recognised the need for reliable and accurate data on our towns and cities to not only inform policy decisions at all levels of government, but as we said today, to support communities to better understand the needs and opportunities of their own places. I've had a sneak preview of the website, And I'm sure when you all get the opportunity to see it, you will agree with me that it's pretty impressive. And to be able to aggregate that data on over 300 places and present it in an easy to use and accessible as possible format is no easy feat. And I can actually testify that it is accessible and easy to use because I was able to use it. Because too often data and statistics can act as a barrier to learning, to opportunity. So it's good to see something like this done in such a refreshing and engaging way. I think we heard earlier, I managed to please to be able to hear a lot of the panel discussion and the interest and questions that's generated and the enthusiasm. And I think there's plenty of people in this room who will be able to use that as we go forward and learn about what our towns have to offer and how it compares to other places and how dependent it potentially is on nearby towns as well. And when I did have my sneak preview this week, I had a look at a few different places, but I have to admit to being a typically parochial politician at times, and I went and had a look at the town where I lived of Mould, and I just found it really interesting the different data that's there, and particularly things like the journeys to work as well, how far people go, although I did note there wasn't one fake little line which charted my weekly commute to Cardiff, except that's probably an unusual commute for most people. But like everybody in this room, we know that towns are fundamental to the fabric of this country, economically, socially, environmental and psychologically. 40% of the population of Wales live in towns of less than 20,000 people, but nearly everybody in Wales will identify with a town or city in some way. And our towns are so diverse, we have inspiring histories and a rich heritage, and whilst it's right to celebrate our history on our past, we can't live in the past, and nostalgia is not going to help us turn things round. And I really want to see our towns across Wales not just simply survive in the future but thrive. And you know, we must do what we can to support towns and communities to reinvent themselves in a way which is fit for the 21st century. You know, we want to see more people saying they're going to pop into town, whether that is for shops, whether that is for other services, whether that's to meet up with friends or to live and to work and to create an experience, but to make towns places where people want to be. So it's essential that we support our town centres to become more diverse and sustainable. It really is a privilege to be in this position and be able to support visit the projects we're supporting and to see the difference that investment is making to communities right across Wales. And supporting town centres is the cornerstone of our regeneration activities within Welsh Government. And whilst we've not previously headlined this as action on high streets, taking into account the levered in funding, by the time our current regeneration programmes are complete, we'll have invested around £800 million into town centres and nearby areas across Wales since 2014. And as a government, we do support towns in many other ways, whether that's through business tax relief, support for retail and transport schemes. But we need to ensure that all of our efforts going forward work in a more coordinated way to make a real difference to our towns and our homes. So since coming into this position, I've identified the need that we need to consider as a government perhaps how we can refocus and recalibrate our support. And I'm pleased that the input that stakeholders and people here, and I'd be pleased to hear those views and input as we move forward to make sure that we get the right answers to the challenges facing our communities and town centres. And I particularly welcome Connie G's research as part of that. I think we should be clear and honest that government can't do everything. Fortunately, we haven't got a bottomless pit of resources. I can't shake the magic money tree and a lot of additional funding comes out. But there are things that we can do which don't have huge cost implications but can make a big difference as well. So along the things we've been discussing in the panel today, one of the things I want to do is to empower and motivate communities to do things for themselves if no direct Welsh Government funding or support is available. And as Carnegie's Turnaround Towns research showed, empowered leaders with local knowledge of the towns are key in taking forward successful change. So mechanisms are needed which enable local people to take control of our own areas and develop bespoke solutions to overcome the challenges those areas face. Our Business Improvement Districts, or BIDS programme, and the previous Town Centres Partnerships are a useful start, but I think we need to do more to build on this work. I also want to ramp up enforcement to take action against those whose rundown properties are blighting town centres. Everybody in this room will have a tale of that kind of iconic eyesore in the middle of a town. And we want to make sure that where we can do that, we provide the support to enable local authorities and others to take action. But with us also, we know there's occasions when perhaps the stick will be more appropriate than the carrot. So I want people in this room to be in no doubt that government, in partnership with our colleagues in local authorities, will rigorously pursue to the fullest possible use of available enforcement mechanisms for the greater public good. We know that public sector and associated bodies can be a real driver to reinvigorate our town centres by thinking differently about their location strategies and considering town centre locations for their offices. Visited Colwyn Bay recently. I know Colwyn Bay quite well because it's not far from where I grew up. And to see the difference, actually, the decision to put the council offices into the town is made to actually to build footfall and to support businesses. I think it's actually how we could think about how we work collaboratively together and imaginatively to actually the ways that we can turn our towns around as we go forward. And I want to consider how we can take all the funding, the regeneration, the capital support for town centres that I previously mentioned into a way that's a simpler and more coherent package, and one that incentivises investment in towns that have a clear vision and master plan and local buy-in, importantly. I'm also keen to promote green infrastructure as part of this as well, and green spaces, because I think the focus previously has been on buildings and bricks and mortar, but there's so much more to our communities and town centres, and I want to make sure if we move forward we can look at that holistically as well. And at the same time, it's important that we don't adopt a one-size-fits-all approach to regeneration, because we know that every place is different and it will require a bespoke approach to regeneration. And our support needs to be flexible to enable that to happen. And at the same time, regeneration cannot be a matter for national government alone. It needs to be locally led and locally delivered, as one of the key findings of Connie G's Turnaround Towns work. And I think understanding Welsh places is going to play a crucial role in supporting and empowering that. I think listening to some of the conversations before I stepped up onto the stage, it's reinforced the belief that the solution lies in supporting the many efforts to diversify, evolve and adapt. And as a government, we want to work with those who have a passion in our communities to drive forward change. So I'd just like to conclude by thanking Carnegie UK Trust and Institute of Welsh Affairs and everybody that's been involved in not just initiating this event, but the hard work into getting us to where we are today. And thanks to also to the consortium who have given up significant time over the past 18 months to ensure that the project is a success. So what means to me to say is thank you, Diolch yn fawr, for being part of this important conversation. And I do genuinely look forward to working with you all in an area that I am both personally and politically passionate about, working to develop our places for the people of Wales. Diolch yn fawr.
Thank you very much indeed, Deputy Minister. I really appreciate it. And we hope you'll be able to stay around and have a bit of a play with the tool. I want to pick up on a couple of things that you said. Green infrastructure is in UWP2, fingers crossed, I think. So very much in the makings of that already. But also something you said about everybody has a passion for something. And what we hope is that what UWP will do is enable that passion and that to be the window onto a wider set of conversations about what the future of their place is like. So thinking about what is important for you wherever you live and whatever community you are part of, and Wales is a community of communities, thinking about this being a way into that conversation and what that could do. We hope, and we're having another conversation with consortium members and with the Carnegie as well about what happens next. We want to let 1,000 flowers bloom in terms of how people might use it, have a conversation also and go off and have lots of different conversations and see what works and see what doesn't work in terms of enabling us to socialise the tool and get people using it. And then potentially, maybe next summer, bring people together to have what does that mean for you, Ed? How have you used it differently? So let's learn about the how as well as the what. Let's learn about and share those experiences with people. So you can expect to see lots more of us in terms of being out and about. And also, if you would like to come and work with us to share it, we have a very, very long list of people who have shown an interest already. We really welcome that. And there'll be lots more of that engagement going into the future. So thank you very much indeed. There is lunch. There are tablets. Most people have got either a phone or a tablet with them, I suspect. Do please nobble one of the consortium members. And I'm going to ask you all to put your hands up. I'm looking at you, Lynn, too. Thank you. So that on how to use it and have a chat about how it's gone so far and what's planned next. So thank you very much, Dokkenvar, and do help yourselves to lunch. Thank you.